Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Westchester on the Level with your host, Hezzy Eris.
Good morning, everybody. Well, today is Thursday. It's November 9th. It's 10 o'clock on the Eastern Seaboard. So we're going to begin the day with international news and eventually end up in Yonkers, where we always do. And so there are a lot of things that need to be covered. I guess the most pertinent at the moment is that the Israeli military says it has secured a Hamas stronghold in Gaza. The Israel Defense Forces, the IDF, said today that it had secured a military position in Jabalia in the Gaza Strip after a 10-hour battle over a Hamas stronghold. Well, the military said that the fighting took place both above ground and in the militant group's tunnel network. In the occupied West Bank, at least 8 Palestinians were killed on Thursday in a raid by Israeli forces, the health ministry said. And then just more issues that went on that we'll explain. Now, speaking to a humanitarian aid conference for Gaza on Thursday in Paris, French President Emmanuel Macron said that there must be a humanitarian pause in the fighting in the Gaza Strip, and that countries must, quote, work for a ceasefire, end quote, in the Israel-Hamas war. The Israeli military said its troops had advanced into the heart of Gaza City, Hamas's main bastion and the biggest city in the coastal enclave. The militant group said its fighters had inflicted heavy losses on the Israeli forces. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said today, or actually it was yesterday, that Washington opposed any Israeli reoccupation, quote unquote, of the Gaza Strip after the conclusion of the Israel-Hamas war. Blinken also said that the U.S. opposed any, quote, attempt to blockade or besiege, end quote, or reduce the size of the Palestinian territory after the conflict. The number of Palestinians killed in the war has surpassed 10,812, a total that includes more than 4,412 children, the health ministry in Hamas-run Gaza had said yesterday. Well, the Gaza death toll reaches 10,812, including 4,412 children, said the Gaza Health Ministry. Well, the health ministry in the Hamas-controlled enclave of Gaza said today that at least 10,812 Palestinians, including 4,412 children, had been killed in Israeli strikes on Gaza since October 7, and the ministry's figures could not be independently verified. Well, later in the afternoon, Israeli army said that it has overcome Hamas's stronghold in Gaza. Israeli and Hamas forces are locked in heavy, close quarters, fighting in Gaza, with Israel saying a 10-hour battle had toppled a Hamas stronghold, quote unquote. The army said it had secured a military position in Jabalia after fighting both above ground and in Hamas's tunnel network. It said it had killed dozens of militants, while the overall death toll for Israel's troops in the offensive has risen to 34. Tens of thousands of Gazans have fled south to escape the violence, with 50,000 leaving in the past day alone, the army had said. Macron says that France will boost 2023 aid for Palestinians to 100 million euros. President Emmanuel Macron said on Thursday that France will increase aid for Palestinians from 20 million euros to 100 million euros in 2023. Macron is hosting a conference devoted to humanitarian aid for the Gaza Strip in Paris on the 34th day of the Israeli-Hamas war. At least 8 Palestinians were killed during an Israeli raid in the West Bank, health ministry says. At least 8 Palestinians were killed. 13 others were injured by Israeli forces in a raid on Jenin, the city and refugee camp in the occupied West Bank, Palestinian Health Ministry said on Thursday. Well, Israel's military said it was conducting counter-terrorism raids in Jenin, but gave no further details. Since the beginning of the Israel-Hamas war, more than 150 Palestinians have been killed in clashes with Israeli forces in the West Bank, according to the Palestinian Health Ministry. Well, Israeli forces have arrested more than 1,000 Palestinians in the West Bank in that time, the army said. Most of them affiliated with Hamas. Clashes have often erupted during such operations. Eliminating Hamas is not going to happen, the Palestinian Prime Minister advises Frantz Van Katt of the news network. So speaking to Frantz Van Katt, France 24, 1 month after the start of the Israel-Hamas war, Palestinian Authority Prime Minister Mohammed Shtayyeh called for an immediate ceasefire, quote unquote, in Gaza, but said that the Israelis don't want any ceasefire because today the Israelis are in the mood of revenge, end quote. Shtayyeh argued that Israel's goal of eliminating Hamas, quote, is totally not going to happen, end quote, and called for a, quote, comprehensive solution, end quote, to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, as well as, quote, an international intervention to put serious pressure on Israel, end quote. Finally, Shtayyeh said that he would like to see general elections, quote, unquote, held for the Palestinians. Well, there is no humanitarian crisis in the Gaza Strip, says an Israeli military official. An Israeli military official today denied there is a humanitarian crisis in the Gaza Strip, even as he acknowledged the Palestinian territory faces several challenges amid the ongoing war. Quote, we know the civil situation in the Gaza Strip is not an easy one, said Colonel Moshe Teto, head of coordination and liaison of COGAT, the Israeli Defense Ministry, body handling civil affairs in Gaza. Quote, but I can say that there is no humanitarian crisis in the Gaza Strip, he told reporters. Tetro's remarks came on the same day as an international conference on humanitarian aid for Gaza was taking place in Paris. 10,500 people have been killed in the besieged enclave since the outbreak of the Israel-Hamas war on October 7, initiated by Hamas. Well, UNRWA, a United Nations Agency for Palestinian Refugees, chief says that aid entering Gaza through the Rafah crossing is inadequate. Philippe Lazzarini, the chief of the United Nations Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, said today that there is a need for meaningful, continuous humanitarian aid to Gaza, including fuel. Speaking at the opening of a conference in Paris on Gaza aid, Lazzarini also said that aid coming in through the Rafah crossing with Egypt was inadequate, adding that all crossings into Gaza should be opened. The UNRWA chief also said he was concerned about the spillover risk of the situation in the war-torn Palestinian territory, adding that the West Bank is, quote, boiling, end quote. Macron says that Israel has imminent responsibility, quote-unquote, of abiding by law. Speaking at the opening of a Paris conference on humanitarian aid for Gaza, French President Emmanuel Macron says Israel has the right to defend itself, but that it also has an imminent responsibility of abiding by law as it responds to Hamas's deadly October 7 attack. Well, civilians in Gaza are, quote, paying the price, end quote, of the Israel-Hamas war, Macron said, adding that the population, quote, has to be protected, end quote. He added that, quote, fighting terrorism can never be carried out without rules. Israel knows that. And the trap of terrorism is for all of us the same, giving into violence and renouncing our values, end quote. Continuing, he said, All lives have equal worth, and there are no double standards for those of us with universal and humanist values. Macron says the countries must work for a ceasefire in Gaza. Well, French President Emmanuel Macron said today that there must be a humanitarian pause very quickly in Gaza and that countries must also work for a ceasefire. Quote, civilians must be protected, that's indispensable and non-negotiable and is an immediate necessity, Macron said at the start of a humanitarian conference on Gaza in Paris. Well, Israeli troops are facing intense urban warfare in Gaza as Hamas exploits the tunnel network. Israeli troops are facing difficult conditions in Gaza as Hamas fighters exploit a vast tunnel network to stage quick attacks. Quote, I'm hearing from someone I know who came out of the fighting, ABC News foreign correspondent Jordana Miller reported to France 24 from Jerusalem. He said, it's so difficult because some of the Hamas fighters are jumping out of tunnel shafts, they're firing anti-tank missiles, and then they're jumping back in and disappearing. Macron is going to speak with Israel's Netanyahu after the Gaza Aid Conference in Paris. Israeli authorities will not be in attendance at a conference on humanitarian aid for the Gaza Strip in Paris today, but French President Emmanuel Macron, who will deliver remarks at the opening of the event, is set to speak with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Conclusion. Well, negotiations are underway for a Gaza ceasefire in exchange for hostage releases, officials tell Associated Press. Well, that's what we've been waiting for a long time. Negotiations are underway for a three-day humanitarian ceasefire in the Gaza Strip in exchange for the release of about a dozen hostages held by Hamas, according to two officials from Egypt, one from the United Nations, and a Western diplomat who spoke to the Associated Press on condition of anonymity. The deal would enable more aid, including limited amounts of fuel, to enter the besieged territory to alleviate worsening conditions for the 2.3 million Palestinians trapped there. Qatar, Egypt, and the United States are brokering it, according to the officials and the diplomat. Officials from more than 50 countries are expected to attend the Gaza Humanitarian Aid Conference in Paris. Seems officials from Western and Arab countries, the United Nations, and non-governmental organizations are gathering today in Paris for a conference on how to provide aid to civilians in the Gaza Strip during the Israel-Hamas war, including proposals for a humanitarian maritime corridor and floating field hospitals. French President Emmanuel Macron, who has called for a, quote, humanitarian pause, end quote, in the conflict, wants a conference to address the besieged Palestinian enclave's growing needs, including food, water, health, supplies, electricity, and fuel. Well, more than 50 countries are expected to attend, including several European countries, the United States, and regional powers like Jordan, Egypt, and the Gulf countries, the French presidency said. Also attending is Palestinian Prime Minister Mohamed Shtayyeh. Israeli authorities won't participate in Thursday's conference, the Elysee Palace said. All governments, nevertheless, have, quote, an interest in the humanitarian situation improving in Gaza, including Israel, and Macron aid told reporters on condition of anonymity ahead of the gathering. Well, the head of the United Nations Agency for Palestinian Refugees, United Nations top aid official, and the president of the International Committee on the Red Cross are expected to provide details about urgent needs in the Gaza Strip. More than 1.5 million people, or about 70% of Gaza's population, have fled their homes, and an estimated $1.2 billion is needed to respond to the crisis. Well, it seems that Israeli forces and Hamas fighters are battling in Gaza City. Palestinians living in the heart of Gaza's largest city said Wednesday they could see and hear Israeli ground forces closing in from multiple directions, accelerating the exodus of thousands of civilians as food and water became scarce and urban fighting between Israel and Hamas heats up. The Israeli army has not given specifics on troop movements as it presses its ground assault, vowing to crush Hamas after its deadly October 7 attack on Israel, but residents said that Israeli forces had moved into inner neighborhoods of Gaza City amid intense bombardment all around the surrounding north. Well, clashes took place within a kilometer, that's about 0.6 miles of the territory's largest hospital, Shifa, which has become a focal point in the war. Well, the U.S. says the Palestinians should govern Gaza after the war. Palestinians should govern Gaza once Israel ends its war against Hamas, the United States said yesterday, pushing back against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's idea that Israel would be responsible for security indefinitely. A month after Hamas gunmen from Gaza launched their deadly attack on Israel, Washington has begun discussing with Israeli and Arab leaders a future for the Gaza Strip without Hamas rule. While a plan has yet to emerge, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken on Wednesday outlined in the most comprehensive comments on the issue to date Washington's red lines and expectations for the besieged coastal territory. Quote, no reoccupation of Gaza after the conflict ends. No attempt to blockade or besiege Gaza. No reduction in the territory of Gaza, Blinken said at a press conference in Tokyo. Blinken said there may be a need for some transition period, quote-unquote, at the end of the conflict, but that post-crisis governance in Gaza must include Palestinian voices. And a U.S. senator says that the Gaza civilian toll is too high. U.S. Senator Chris Murphy said on Wednesday that it is a vital, quote-unquote, vital for Israel to carry out a more targeted offensive in the Gaza Strip to limit civilian casualties. Quote, I think that the civilian death toll has been too high and a more surgical approach would be important, but Vital Murphy, a Democratic member of the powerful Senate Foreign Relations Committee, strikes Iran-linked site in Syria. Well, the United States, for the second time in recent weeks, carried out strikes on Wednesday against a facility in eastern Syria that the Pentagon said was used by Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, the IRGC, and affiliated groups. As tensions soar over the Israeli-Hamas war, U.S. and coalition troops have been attacked at least 40 times in Iraq and Syria by Iran-backed forces since the beginning of October. 45 U.S. troops have suffered traumatic brain injuries or minor wounds. So U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said in a statement that the strikes were conducted by two U.S. F-15 fighters and were in response to the recent attacks against U.S. forces. Austin said the attacks against U.S. troops must stop. Quote, if attacks by Iran's proxies against U.S. forces continue, we will not hesitate to take further necessary measures to protect our people, he added. So, unbelievable, huh? Let me quickly look. Bear with me a second here. All right. Boy, time flies. We're covering a lot of ground. Well, it seems that with regard to the Israel-Hamas war, 50,000 are fleeing the fighting in northern Gaza. Journalists and Israeli soldiers in Gaza City reported little sign of civilian activity. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said he would not consider a ceasefire unless hostages are released. So this is the latest. The Israeli army continued its ground operation in Gaza City, with 50,000 Palestinian civilians fleeing via temporary evacuation corridor yesterday and set to reopen on Thursday. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu reiterated his position that there would be no ceasefire talks until the militant Islamist group Hamas releases the more than 200 people it's holding hostage. Over 50 Western and Arab nations, as well as non-governmental organizations, will meet in France to coordinate aid to civilians in the Gaza Strip. This is about an hour ago. Aid is coming in through Rafah, blatantly inadequate, UNRWA chief says. The volume of aid coming into the besieged Gaza Strip via the Rafah crossing, a border crossing with Egypt, is, quote, blatantly inadequate, end quote, said Philippe Lazzarini, the Commissioner General of the United Nations Palestinian Refugee Agency, or UNRWA. Addressing an international conference on Gaza in Paris, Lazzarini called for all borders crossings into the territory to be opened, in particular crossing points with Israel like Kerem Shalom. And the UNRWA chief warned the 99 members of staff at the United Nations agency killed since the start of the conflict, describing the period since Hamas's bloody October 7 attacks on Israel as a, quote, painful month for UNRWA. The UNRWA death toll is the highest number of United Nations aid workers killed in a conflict in such a short time, Lazzarini had said. Some 10,000 people have been killed in Gaza since the beginning of the war, according to the Hamas-run health ministry in the Palestinian enclave. Lazzarini, who visited Gaza last week, said what he had seen there was he warned of a, quote, looming public health hazard, end quote, due to poor sanitary conditions. Continuing, he said, thousands of children killed cannot be collateral damage, he said. Pushing a million people from their homes and concentrating them in areas without adequate infrastructure is forced displacement. Severely limiting food, water, and medicine is collective punishment. Lazzarini also warned of a potential spillover of the conflict to the occupied West Bank, where he said military incursions by the Israeli forces and settler violence have caused record high death tolls among Palestinians. Well, several were killed in Israel in an Israeli raid in the West Bank, Palestinian Health Ministry says. At least 10 people were killed during an Israeli raid on Jenin, a Palestinian city in the northern part of the Israeli-occupied West Bank, the Palestinian Health Ministry said today. 20 other people were injured as a result of the raid, the ministry added. The Israeli military said its forces were conducting counterterrorism raids in Jenin. The IDF said it carried out aerial attacks on armed men who shot at the forces and, quote, threw explosives, end quote, leading the IDF forces to respond by shooting at them. The Israel Defense Forces said it and other security forces arrested 9 wanted individuals in the Jenin refugee demolition order signed for the house of a person accused of carrying out a stampede attack in August. Scholz is ashamed and outraged by a recent wave of anti-Semitism. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz vowed today to protect Germany's Jewish community against an upsurge in anti-Semitism in the wake of the Hamas deadly attacks on October 7 on Israel and the subsequent conflict in Gaza. Scholz said the anti-Semitic wave left him, quote, ashamed and outraged, end quote, as he spoke in a Berlin synagogue on the anniversary of the 1938 November pogroms, which ultimately led to the Holocaust. Essentially, this is about keeping the promise given again and again in the decades since 1945, Scholz said, the promise, quote, never again, end quote. The synagogue where he spoke was among 1,000 that were damaged or destroyed across Germany and Austria by Nazi mobs on November 9 of 1938. At least 91 Jews were murdered that night, with some 7,500 Jewish businesses ransacked and some 30,000 Jews arrested. Same synagogue where Scholz was speaking was the target of a Molotov attack that followed the October 7 attacks, amid a rise in anti-Semitism. While the November pogroms of 1938 were previously known as Kristallnacht, or the Night of Broken Glass, a reference to the shattered glass of the many Jewish-owned shops destroyed by the authorities today, those terms are considered trivializing of the murder, violence, and destruction that took place. Well, Britain's interior minister is accusing police of pro-Palestinian bias. United Kingdom's Home Secretary Suella Braverman has criticized London's Metropolitan Police, accusing them of ignoring the law-breaking by pro-Palestinian mobs, quote-unquote. In an article published in the Times of London newspaper, Braverman accused the police of acting more leniently toward pro-Palestinian demonstrations happening almost weekly since the October 7 attack compared with their response to right-wing protesters or football hooligans. Terrorists have been valorized. Israel has been demonized as Nazis and Jews have been threatened with further massacres, she wrote. Braverman added, quote, there is a perception that senior police officers play favorites when it comes to protesters and called demonstrations calling for a ceasefire in Gaza, quote, an assertion of primacy by certain groups, and quote, particularly Islamic extremists. She described demonstrations calling for a ceasefire in Gaza as a hate as hate marchers. And marches in support of Palestinians have taken place in Germany and around the world. Several officials and politicians condemned Braverman's article, including London Mayor Sadiq Khan and his Labour Party. Braverman's article comes after tension between the Conservative government and the police over marches to show support for Palestinian civilians scheduled for the weekend. Well, British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak had criticized the protests, which will coincide with Remembrance Day in Britain, as, quote, provocative and disrespectful, end quote. However, following talks with Police Chief Mark Rowley, Sunak said that the government backed, quote, the right to peacefully protest, end quote. Remembrance Day in Britain marks the end of World War I, and is commemorated every year on November 11 with 2 minutes of silence to honor those who lost their lives in the war. Well, 5 hours ago, we hear that the Israel Defense Forces say they have captured Hamas's base in Jabalia camp. The Israel Defense Forces have said the military captured a base belonging to the Hamas Islamist militant group in the northern Gaza Strip. The IDF said the base is located in the western part of the Jabalia refugee camp, adding that Israeli soldiers had killed militants, seized weapons, and uncovered tunnel shafts. The IDF also claimed to have recovered important operational material relating to the enemy's operational plans. Israeli airstrikes on buildings in the Jabalia refugee camp, including a school, left huge craters in the camp. Palestinian authorities at the Hamas-led health ministry reported that dozens of people died in the airstrikes. The IDF said one of the planners of the October 7 massacre, as well as 50 other militants, were killed in the strikes. Jabalia is the largest of the Gaza Strip's 8 refugee camps, according to the United Nations. Well, aid to Gaza is coming in, quote, trickle rather than flow, end quote, UNICEF officers had said. Well, much needed aid arriving in the besieged Gaza Strip amid Israeli military operations is coming in, quote, slowly, a trickle rather than a flow, Toby Fricker from UNICEF advised. Fricker said his organization has been moving supplies and medical equipment to shelters and hospitals, including inside Gaza City. UNICEF is also trying to provide children in shelters with some recreational activities to give them a break to, quote, forget the horrors around them, Fricker had added. Quote, we are still operating inside the Gaza Strip. We are trying to do whatever we can. It's not enough, but we're trying, Fricker had said. He spoke about the dangerous situation in the Strip, giving an example of the United Nations Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, UNWA, saying over 90 members of their staff have died in Gaza. UNWA said it had over 13,000 staff members in Gaza before the start of the fighting last month. Fricker also addressed a concern over the lack of potable water. He said that some 1.5 million people now displaced across the Strip. People are living in more densely populated areas than before, which increases the risk of the outbreak of disease. Access to safe water is really so hard, he said. People are getting 3 liters per day maximum, and often that is contaminated water. A former Palestinian prime minister says that Hamas must be part of peace. Former Palestinian Authority Prime Minister Salam Fayyad has called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and a future political consensus that includes Hamas. Fayyad advised Deutsche Welle, the German paper, that Palestinian political structures would need to be overhauled to form a competent administration once the ongoing conflict between Israel and the militant group Hamas ends. Fayyad served as Prime Minister of the Palestinian Authority from 2007 to 2013 and was also a veteran political opponent of Hamas in the West Bank. However, he said that Hamas, which is designated as a terrorist group by the United States, European Union, Germany, and others, still enjoyed significant popularity among Palestinians and therefore could not be ignored. Quote, as a political issue, I don't see how they can exclude from representation factions that enjoy this kind of public support. That's what pluralism is about, Fayyad had said. Fayyad said that credible Palestinian leadership could only emerge through the ballot box. First, however, he said a ceasefire was currently the most pressing issue. Quote, before we consider any of these issues, the focus must squarely be on stopping the bloodshed. Well, Gaza aid conference is going to begin in Paris. That was about 9 hours ago. So they're on and running. One second. About 10 hours ago, we heard that tens of thousands of flee the Gaza as the Israeli army advances. An estimated 50,000 people fled south from northern Gaza on Wednesday as Israel continued its ground offensive in Gaza City. Many of the buildings in the north of the Gaza Strip have been destroyed and toppled trees are a common sight. Journalists on the ground saw little sign of civilian activity, save for Israeli flags that now fly from Gaza beach resorts. Israeli Army spokesperson Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari said that Hamas's loss of control in northern Gaza is convincing people to leave the area. Quote, they're leaving because they understand Hamas lost control in the north. And in the south, it's safer, Hagari said. Hamas has lost control and is continuing to lose control in the north. An Israeli military official told the Associated Press news agency that soldiers had not seen civilians in the area. Quote, we have not seen any civilians here, only Hamas, the anonymous lieutenant colonel said. Quote, we gave all the people that live here a good heads up that we're coming. He added that Hamas militants have been spotted above ground as well as emerging from a system of tunnels, Gaza. The Israel Defense Forces said a temporary evacuation corridor will be set up again on Thursday to allow people safely to flee south. Israel has called on residents of Gaza to move out of the northern Gaza Strip for their own safety.
Israeli military operations continue in the southern region of the enclave as well as in the north. And so over 10,500 people have died in Gaza since the start of an Israeli military campaign, according to the Hamas-led health ministry. Well, the Israeli operation followed Hamas terror attacks in southern Israel on October 7th that killed 1,400 people. Well, one thing you should know, the U.S. Republican debate focused on Israel. Israel's war against Hamas was one of the top talking points during a debate between five hopefuls vying to become the Republican Party's candidate for U.S. president in the 2024 election. Donald Trump's rivals pledged unconditional support for Israel during the third Republican debate in Miami. Trump did not attend the event. Well, the person closest to Trump in the polls, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, said his message to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was to, quote, finish the job once and for all with these butchers, Hamas, your terrorists, end quote. Former United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley, who has staked much of her candidacy on her foreign policy credentials, criticized President Joe Biden for urging Israel to consider humanitarian pauses. Quote, the last thing we need to do is to tell Israel what to do, she said. The only thing we should be doing is supporting them and eliminating Hamas. She broadened the blame for the war on Hamas supporter Iran and on China and Russia for their economic ties with Iran. South Carolina Senator Tim Scott let's see, I want you to get to some other things with you before we end the day. Evidently, there are a lot of deported Afghans who cross Pakistan's border confused and angry. Afghan migrants were forced to leave their homes in Pakistan on short notice and return to the Taliban-run Afghanistan. Okay, I'm having trouble accessing this. I don't know why. Let's see if there's another way to get it. For some reason, it's not coming up. Well, let's look at something a little bit closer to home. So what does the end of the Hollywood actors' strike mean? See, as the U.S. Actors Union agreed to a new deal with studios and streamers, they come out as the winners of the historical strike, showing a powerful shift in Hollywood. After nearly 4 months on strike, the longest legal action in its history, American Actors Union, SAG, AFTRA, SAG-AFTRA, has agreed to a new 3-year deal with the Alliance of Motion Pictures and Television Production, the group that represents the major studios, U.S. television networks, and streaming services like Netflix, Amazon, and Apple TV+. Well, SAG-AFTRA's members still need to formally approve the deal, but most expect the vote will be strongly in favor. The actors' strike and that of the Hollywood Writers Guild, the WGA, which lasted from May through September of this year, effectively shut down film and TV production across the nation. While some movies and series were able to secure interim agreements from the unions to keep shooting, many hit shows, including Emily in Paris, The Last of Us, Law and Order, The White Lotus, Yellowstone, and blockbuster films such as Gladiator II, the Avatar sequels, as well as new Transformers, Spider-Man, and Superman movies, were put on hold. Thousands of workers, tens of thousands of workers, both actors and so-called below-the-line employees, from set designers to audio technicians to makeup stylists, lost their jobs. The economic damage to the U.S. economy runs into the billions. The strike also disrupted Hollywood promotional ecosystems, since actors were prohibited from promoting their movies at premieres and red carpet events, while renegotiations were still underway. Yeah. Okay. All right. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to check one other thing here. Let me see if I can raise this article. For some reason, it's not coming up, and I don't get it. Yeah, it's just not coming up, so that's a problem. Let's see what we can do about that. I'm not sure if we can. One second here. Oh, yeah, I was following this last year, and evidently it's come to some form of accommodation this year. Well, the Spanish Prime Minister Sanchez has reached a deal with the Catalan Separatist Party to remain in power. Spain's Prime Minister has clinched an agreement with Catalan Separatists, officials said today, in a deal that will enable him to remain in power, but that has raised tensions and sparked protests in the country. So, Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez is a socialist, finished second in the July 23rd parliamentary election, and he has until November 27 to cobble together a working coalition or face fresh elections. Well, Sanchez needs the support of Catalan's independence parties and has accepted their demand to offer amnesty to all those being pursued for their role in a failed secession attempt back in 2017. He also proposed a highly controversial bill that would grant amnesty. In response, conservative opposition parties and members of Spain's judiciary have stepped up criticism, with some accusing Sanchez of corruption and abandoning the rule of law. Well, the proposed bill has sparked several days of tense protests in the country this week, with thousands rallying against it in the capital of Madrid. On Thursday, the socialists and the hardline Catalan JXCAT separatist party said that they had signed an agreement without providing details. The leaders in both parties are due to speak later in Brussels. and Brussels is currently the base of Catalan separatist leader and head of JXCAT, Carles Puigdemont, who left Spain for Belgium following the failed succession attempt to avoid prosecution. Well, the proposed amnesty bill carried several nights of demonstrations this week. Nearly 7,000 protesters gathered on Tuesday, according to authorities, carrying placards emblazoned with the words "No to amnesty" and "Spain does not pay traitors," TV images had shown. Well, on Monday evening, several thousand demonstrators gathered outside the headquarters of the Spanish Socialist Party, Workers' Party, the PSOE, in Madrid, Barcelona, and Valencia. On Saturday, Alberto Núñez Feijóo, head of the opposition conservative Popular Party, PP, said at a meeting that, quote, "exchanging votes for impunity is corruption," and vowed at a rally in Valencia a day later, "we will defend Spain." Well, Feijóo's PP party said at a meeting that exchanging votes for impunity is corruption, and vowed at a rally in Valencia a day later, quote, "we will defend Spain," end quote. Feijóo's PP party finished first in the July parliamentary election, but failed to form a coalition. The opposition accused Sanchez, who once opposed amnesty, to be willing to do anything to stay in power, and Sanchez has remained defiant in the face of the demonstrations. In a message on on X, sometimes known as Twitter, or was known as Twitter, on Monday criticized harassment by the protesters and said their behavior was akin to attacking democracy. So members of the judiciary have also stepped up their criticism. The Professional Association of Magistrates, a conservative body that represents a majority of the country's judges, last week issued a statement calling the measures, quote, "the beginning of the end of democracy," end quote, that would, quote, "destroy the rule of law." After a failed Catalan secession attempt in 2017, hundreds of people were pursued by Spanish prosecutors, sparking claims of repression. While the main leaders of the movement fled abroad, including Puigdemont, or were given jail sentences up to 13 years. Sanchez was elected to office just a month after the secession attempt with the support of separatists who had made reducing tensions in Catalonia a priority. In 2017, he pardoned the 9 jailed separatists, and the following year, his government reformed the Spanish legal system, or code rather, to remove the crime of sedition under which they had been condemned. My goodness, so much going around the world, huh? And we'll end with this. Bear with me a second. Okay, Picasso's Woman with a Watch evidently fetched $139 million in the New York auction. One of Pablo Picasso's masterpieces, Woman with a Watch, was sold at auction yesterday night for $139.3 million by Sotheby's in New York, the second highest price ever achieved for the artist. So, one of Pablo Picasso's masterpieces, Woman with a Watch, was sold at auction on Wednesday night for $139.3 million by Sotheby's in New York City, the second highest price sanctioned one artist. And I guess that's about it. So it's about 10 minutes to 11, and I'm just simply exhausted from who knows what, I guess just life. And I want to thank you for being with us, and all the best to everyone.
care and goodbye.